place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and we're happy to have you with us today on Peace Talk. How do you survive the passing of your wife through cancer that came on quickly, was aggressive, and her battle only lasted, you know, a little over a year? How do you deal with that? And are you comforted and consoled by the fact that during that time that your wife, Ann, had such a witness to her oncologist that he comes to know Christ, but when it's all said and done, he's a believer, but you've lost your wife, the mother, your companion for 37 years. And that's what we want to talk about today, because our guest is Dr. Shelton Sanford, pastor of the Westminster Presbyterian Church, Rock Hill, South Carolina. And he witnessed the passing of his wife and the conversion of her doctor. Dr. Sanford, we're happy to have you here today to tell your part of the story. Welcome to Peace Talk.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate the opportunity very much.
Let's just go back to those days. I believe we're talking about, 2005 and 2006, right?
That's right.
How did it impact you and your family when your wife, Ann, got the diagnosis that she had leukemia?
Well, let me back up and tell you a little bit about us, because Ann and I lived a fairy tale life in a sense. Our parents were friends, very close friends, when we were growing up. Literally, Ann's mom came to see me in the hospital when I was born, and my mom went to see her in the hospital when she was born. When we were in kindergarten, we actually went to the same kindergarten when we were 4 and 5 years old and have known each other. We fell in love in high school, got married when we were 19. And just had an incredible life together. She was the love of my life and the only girl I'd really ever dated before. So you have to understand, this is it's a sort of highly unusual, deep relationship that we had. We had three wonderful children. Our lives were, I've been in the ministry now for 35 years, and we've served three wonderful churches, and God has just blessed us beyond all measure. And we had never been through any major crises. I mean, we both lost our parents, and that's expected that that's going to happen. But when Ann was diagnosed with cancer, it just really absolutely threw me. It's amazing the way that she handled things. I'll never forget, it was my birthday in 2005 when the oncologist, Kashyap Patel, called up and said, well, I have bad news, it's leukemia. And, of course, we knew that was a possibility, but he said, but I'm sorry to tell you, it's AML, which is one of the worst kinds of leukemia. It's acute leukemia, which has a very little survival rate to it. And that very first day that we got that news, I was in my quiet time and was reading Isaiah 43. And it just hit me that that was the passage that God had given me to just rely on. And I went to Ann later that day and I said, honey, God's given me Isaiah 43 as the passage. I put it down in my journal this morning. She said, you're kidding. Said, when I was in my quiet time today, God led me to that passage, and that's exactly the same one that I believe. And so that passage has been very, very special to me all these years. I picked it because of verse 2, when it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And I knew that we were going to be passing through some deep waters, waters that we had never faced before in our lives. And I said to her, honey, why did you choose this passage? And she said, well, it's verse 10. And verse 10 says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, in order that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. Her major emphasis was witness, and she believed, there is no question that she believed in her heart and life, that God had actually called her to be a witness through bearing leukemia. And so for me, it threw me greatly. But it was incredible, the peace that she had, the absolute assurance she had that God is sovereign, that God has a plan, and that God's faithful. And she rested in those three things.
Now, you're a pastor, and you had been for a little over 25 years at that point. You know, pastors are supposed to have this down. You know, they're supposed to know how to deal with tragedy in people's lives. But there are a couple of times in Dr. Patel's book, From Raindrops to an Ocean, where it was bewildering to you, or it was disconcerting or disorienting. So how did you as a pastor relate to this?
Well, it was very disconcerting. I think we have to remember that pastors are people, too, and that we're broken vessels like everybody else is. We can't put us up on a pedestal because we're human beings. And one of the things, God has sent a couple of things in my life, this plus, and maybe this is a discussion at another time, Larry, I went through a really bad depression a couple of years ago. And those things literally broke me again to see how totally dependent I am upon God. And I'm a pastor of a very wonderfully blessed ministry. And when this thing hit, it was just unreal. This couldn't happen to me. This couldn't happen to our family. Our family, we've just got this family. And it was interesting that we had had two grandchildren born by this point, and Anne said to me on an occasion, she said, "I am so happy. I'm the happiest I've ever been in all my life. I just feel like something's going to happen." And I remember saying, "Oh, what in the world? We're at the prime of our lives. This is the most fun time we're going to have in our lives. We've been so blessed." And then within a year, this diagnosis came. And it absolutely, absolutely threw me and broke me. And I never was angry at God. I've never been angry at God, but I certainly questioned him. And I told him I didn't like it, that I really wished that things would be different.
Could you say that maybe not angry, but you were somewhat disappointed because you and Ann were approaching that life, that time of life when you enjoy the grandkids, the ministry's going well, and it's not like you're saying you're going to coast a little bit, but that, you know, some of the hard learning experiences are supposed to be behind you at that point. Did you experience some disappointment?
Absolutely. It was disappointment, and it was there was a sense of just disbelief. This couldn't be happening. This can't be. This isn't real. And, it was really through that questioning that it caused me to come back, and that's why I would every day I'd come back to this passage in Isaiah 43, and we would read it during all of Ann's illness and her suffering and right up to the point of her death. We would read this passage a couple of times a day and have our kids around the bed when we would do it, and it was just, I would have to go back many a time and sit down between this passage and the Psalms. I read the Psalms over and over again. And it was through that experience that God gave me a peace in the midst of this. He says, when you pass through the waters, he didn't say if, he said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And I kept having to tell myself, I've got to practice his presence. I've got to practice his presence. And in that passage, it goes on later where God says to his people, I love you and I'm with you. And there were many times I'd sit there and read that and say, God, where are you? I know you love me, but I don't know that you're here with me. Why is this going on in my life? And so, yeah, disappointment's a good word.
These are the same kind of questions, I guess, as a pastor you had dealt with in other people's lives, hadn't you?
Absolutely, and it's easier to deal with them in other people's lives than it is your own life, as you probably well know yourself, Larry. It gets to your own life, it gets very personal, and it gets very real. And it was even like when I went through this depression years later, that I just couldn't relate, and I really didn't have the deep sense of compassion toward people that God gave me as a result of this.
So it's changed your ministry today, hasn't it? I mean, when you deal with people having gone through this, you're a different man yourself as you minister to your people.
I think you would hear my congregation and our staff say that. And, you know, you were talking about as a pastor going through this. Well, we've got a fairly large church, and I knew going through this process that I had over 2,000 people watching. And so there's the pressure of feeling, okay, I've got to do this right. I've got to handle this right. And that's what God had to break me of, is to break me down, to show me that I can't handle it. You know, you've heard people say God never gives you more than you can take, and that's simply not true. There are times that God gives you far more than you can take, but the difference is he is there to sustain you.
So when I hear you talk like this, I conclude that the God that you knew after Ann's death was somewhat more real, somewhat more personal to you than the God you knew before her struggle with cancer.
I think my experience with God was more real. It wasn't that he wasn't real, and he's been real all along, but I think my experience with him was that he became far more real to me. He became my father who loved me.
And does that, did your church, is that what they saw during this period of time? How did they relate to you during this period of time? What did they say to you? You know, sometimes people get kind of awkward and tongue-tied in this kind of a situation. How did your church respond?
Well, the first thing that helped me the most was one of my associate pastors who was deeply beloved here as well had said to me, Shelton, you need to understand you're grieving, but this entire congregation is grieving with you because the people here absolutely loved and adored Ann. I mean, she was the ideal pastor's wife. If you could just imagine, she was this delightful, beautiful, Southern belle. You know, a friend of mine said if a peach could talk, it would be Ann Sanford. That was just who she was. And she was so loved here. So this whole congregation went through times of deep grief.
Well, we're coming down to the end of the first part of the program. And Shelton, when we come back, I want to talk about Ann. We have focused kind of on how it's affected you, and which I'm glad to do that because you've given us some real insight, which I'm hoping our Peace Talk audience can take with them, because some of them are going through the same things today. And if they're not going through them today, they will. And so we're just offering your story as an encouragement to them. When we come back, let's talk about Ann, and let's talk about what made up that witness that Ann had to Dr. Patel, so much so that a man who described himself as a little bit of Confucianism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and Hinduism actually then becomes a believer through this lady, through Ann Sanford's testimony. That's what we'll do when we come back. So stay with us. We have a 2-minute break. We'll be right back to rejoin us on Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
Substance abuse, inappropriate relationships, cutting, social media. Do these issues sound familiar? How about the biggest one of all, America's teens' declining interest in the things of God? These are just some of the challenges that parents and teens are struggling with in today's culture. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry is a biblically-based half-hour weekly radio program equipping you with insight for today's culture from a biblical worldview.
Monday mornings at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
What a fine day to play nine holes.
You're kidding. With your bad hip, you better just watch golf on TV.
Is your body holding you back?
Now, where's that jar of spaghetti sauce?
Yeah, who's gonna open it? Your wrist can't even turn a doorknob.
Don't let your body hold you back. A lot of people in pain choose to fight for their mobility. Read their stories and find your own inspiration at anationinmotion.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com, you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com, you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. If you've stayed with us through the break, glad to have you back. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Shelton Sanford, and I neglected to do this in the first half of the program, but you have on Peace Talk already heard the story of Dr. Kashi Patel, who wrote the book From Raindrops to an Ocean, in which he tells the story of his treatment of Ann Sanford and how her witness eventually brings him to Christ. And if you missed the broadcast, you can go to www.peacetalk.com, go to the radio archive, and you'll find it there. Go back and listen to that. That's the first half of this, where Dr. Patel tells his own story of how the life of Ann Sanford changed his life, what her witness was to him. But our guest today is Dr. Shelton Sanford, the husband of Ann, who's telling the story from the perspective of husband, father, and pastor. Dr. Sanford, glad to have you back. Let's get right into it. How did Ann witness to Dr. Kashi Patel? What made up her witness to him?
Well, I think, first of all, is the reality of her faith. There was a transparency to Anne. She never doubted God in this. If you've read the book, my daughter and I put together many of her journal entries, which are directly taken from her handwritten journals. And the first thing that you notice about it is that she would, every day when she would write a prayer, she wrote to her Father in heaven. And it was this very deep sense of, I'm at peace. God, you've called me to this. You've given me this as a witness, and I want to be a witness. And by the way, she has been a witness to no telling how many people. Our church and our lives were very much involved in world missions, and we literally had people all over the world praying. We had a map in Ann's hospital room that every time we would hear from somebody across the world, we'd put a pen in it, and it was amazing, which was a great witness to, because these doctors and others would come in and say, what in the world is that about? And we were saying, well, this is where people are praying, and they're praying for you. And we would tell Kashyap that often, that we have many people around the world praying for him because he was her doctor. And her witness was so real. I mean, it was a transparency about it, and it wasn't any kind of fake. It wasn't about religion. It was very clear in her life that she had a relationship with Jesus that was real. And again, read her journal entries, and you can sense the realness of it.
Well, that's what it struck me about her journal entries, was the way that she prayed. And I saw all those journal entries as prayers that she actually offered. What made up her prayer life?
Well, it was mainly praise to God. And again, if you read that, Lord, thank you that you've given me leukemia. I know I'm anticipating great things of what's going to happen. I know you're going to use this. I mean, it was God-focused. It was never centered. Now, she prayed for, if you read in the book, she prayed carefully for her family, for her friends. She prayed often for me. She prayed for our congregation. She prayed for other friends. We had people who, during that year, friends of ours who went through tragedies, and she was praying for them. I guess what I'm saying is, Larry, that it was focused on God, and it wasn't really focused on her. It was focused on God.
You would consider that significant, wouldn't you, that in all of this, it seemed like Anne, she just had a kind of a relationship with God, that God was taking care of her, and so her concern was to take care of all the people around her. And Ann Sanford was very small in the eyes of Ann Sanford.
Absolutely, and she loved Kashyap Patel, and she told him that on many of occasions, and she did share very clearly with him. She would say, Kashyap, I just love you, and I want to see you in heaven with me. And he would say, well, I'm going to be in heaven. And then Ann would say, well, you've got to realize Jesus Christ. And it's only through Jesus Christ that you can ever know for certain that you're going to go to heaven. And she would be very specific in her witness with him and pray for him. I'll never forget one occasion. We had another doctor who was another oncologist in Greenville, where we were in the hospital. And he was Australian and an agnostic, and he's come to faith in Christ also since then. And one day we had Kashyap and this other doctor, Gary Spitzer, and I had a couple of nurses that had come in the room, and my daughter, and we gathered around Ann's bed, and we just had prayer. And Ann was praying for these doctors and praying that God would show them the beauty of the gospel and the great peace that she had.
What I noticed in the book, and again, the book we're referring to here is the book written by her oncologist, Kashyap Patel, From Raindrops to an Ocean. And again, let me remind you, you can hear Dr. Patel's story at www.peacetalk.com. Go to the radio archive and you can find the broadcast that's already aired where he tells his story. The thing that struck me was the great respect that Anne had for Dr. Patel and his religious views, that she never attacked him for that. You know, and she never talked about him in any kind of a condescending or degrading way. She had tremendous respect for him and his views.
She did do that because she has respect for people as made in the image of God, and she had respect for him, and she also understood his background. If you, again, the book makes it very clear that Kashyap has a very eclectic background spiritually. I mean, he's been exposed to Hinduism, he's been exposed to Buddhism, he's been in Roman Catholic and evangelical Christian. I mean, he's had a smorgasbord of religious background to him, which, again, it's sort of like in the pluralistic society in which we live. He sort of held the belief that you could, you know, just a lot of ways to get to heaven. And what Anne kept insisting was, no, there's not. There's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ.
You mentioned, and it's mentioned, I think, in the book and in her prayers, that Anne had a tremendous sense of gratitude for what God had done in her life. Talk about that for a minute, and how important do you think that was, her sense of gratitude, to her expressed and sense of peace that she had throughout this experience?
Well, I think that, you know, God makes that clear, that it's the grateful people who realize the incredible blessings of God on your life, that you can really appreciate in a deeper way who God is, and then you can appreciate other people better. It's when you've got an attitude that is one of deep thanksgiving for all that God has done, and that's what Anne always looked at. She would say, but I'm thankful for this, and she would have a bad day, and she would say, okay, I'm thankful for this day. It was a bad day today, but I'm thankful for it because I'm past it now. So it's really an attitude of the heart that brought about, I think, so much of the way she handled these things. Of course, it was her faith, deep faith, first of all, but it was out of that deep faith she could have gratitude for even the hard things that came along.
Be the pastor for just a few minutes now. We're coming down towards the end of the program. There are people listening to this program that they're dealing with difficult situations. They might be discouraged. They might be wondering about God. They might be having doubt about where God is, because sometimes he seems to be quiet in these difficult times. Pastor them for a few minutes. Talk to them kind of from your heart to their heart as to maybe how they should look at where they are in life right now.
Well, I think that through my experience, and that, as you said earlier, brought me into a deeper personal relationship with God. There were certain things that I learned, and I learned a lot of it through Anne. And I would say to our people over and over again, remember these things, that God is God. He is on his throne. There are things that are going to happen in our lives that we don't like, that we wish were different. But you know what? God has allowed them for a purpose. And therefore, I have to recognize that God is a sovereign God who has a plan and who's faithful. And even in the midst of my trials, and I think that's what Isaiah 43:2 is talking about, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers they will not overflow you, even though they look like they will. Yet there is a God there who upholds us. The second thing is God is God. Second thing is God is good. His essential nature is goodness. And God is perfectly good in every sense of the word of that. And that brings you to the third thing, and that is, because God is God and God is good, God always knows and does what's best for his children, always. And I think we have to remember, as people who are living in this world, that even Christians aren't exempt from suffering. We live in a broken, fallen world, and there's going to be cancer, there's going to be death, there are going to be accidents, there are going to be terrible things that happen. And that's part of living in a fallen world. Christians are not exempt from suffering. They are not exempt from suffering. The difference is that Christians have the hand of the living God upholding them. And I think that's the huge difference, is don't be surprised when the fiery ordeals come among you, Peter writes. But rather, realize that in the midst of those fiery trials, there is a God. One of my favorite passages is 1 Peter chapter 5, which says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But resist him, firm in your ways, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers who are in the world. And the last verse reads like this, and after you've suffered for a little while. Isn't that incredible? After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. It is that peace. And I realize now, and on her deathbed, when she died, Larry, she had been out all day long. And all of a sudden, about 9:30 at night, she opened her eyes, and there was a look on her face. And I'm convinced it was at that moment that Jesus came. I've gone to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm convinced that Jesus came at that point, and she saw him. And there was an incredible peace that has left in my life, to know the beauty of heaven and the joy of the life yet to come.
I think that was a beautiful passage in the book where you related the story of her passing. You know, there was a time in my life when I would have thought that was just kind of spooky and, you know, getting a little off the wall. But having experienced the passing of my own parents and to those who have stood at a deathbed, it is very real, isn't it?
It absolutely
What God
is
doing in a time like that in a person's life. We're down to about a minute now. Translate something real quick. And this is a hard question for 1 minute, but I think you can do it, okay? You read the word, and it's become a part of your life. How did you translate the reading of the word and the intellectual part of the word into actually experiencing what the word was teaching you?
I think ultimately it's God who has to do that. I think that, it's not the wise, it's not the great, the rich. I think it's something that God has to do in your heart. And it comes through reading the word, and it comes through God's Spirit, who brings you that inner peace, who brings you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, suffering, long-suffering, all those things that are the fruit of the Spirit. It ultimately is the work of God in our hearts.
So in and, you found the grateful heart, a prayerful heart, a humble heart, a dependent heart, and God gave her peace, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Well, we've come to the end of the program. I wish we had more time, but we only have the half hour. I'm thankful, Dr. Sanford, that you have been with us and have shared your story. I trust it's been an encouragement and a blessing to those that have heard, because many of them are going through the same things that you have gone through, or they will. And what your story is and Anne's story was is the God of the Bible is a very real God, and he's doing the same things today that he did all the way through the Scriptures, of healing people's hearts and granting them peace. And we trust that's what you get today by having been a part of Peace Talk. Thank you for being a part. Go to the website and you can get more information there about Peace Talk. Thank you. This has been Peace Talk. Your place to find hope, get help, discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.